WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're looking at two Winter Olympic sports today, a new one, snowboarding, and one of the most popular, ice skating. As the 1998 Winter Olympics in Nagano wind down, there are widespread suspicions that several of the judges of the ice dancing competition conspired to rig the voting in favor of certain pairs. Some skaters and coaches allege that the Russian pair, Platov and Grishuk, were assured their gold medal before the competition even began. Pairs skater and choreographer Christopher Dean has been following this controversy. In the 1984 Olympics in Sarajevo, Dean and his skating partner Jane Torville danced to Ravel's Bolero. With that performance, they became the first skating couple to score perfect sixes. They also won a gold medal. When they returned to compete in the 1994 Olympics in Lillehammer, they took home the bronze. Fresh Air's Barbara Bogave spoke with Christopher Dean about his sport and the current judging controversy.
In the coverage, the commentators seem to imply that judging has been suspect in this sport for a long time.
It's coming to the forefront because of the Canadian dancers who are creating a fuss about this, and quite rightly so, you know, that you spend dedicate all your life to this event, and then it's in the hands of nine people that are, you know, if they're judging honestly from their heart, you can't criticize that. But if they're doing it as a political thing, then you have every reason to stand up and shout about it. And I think maybe this may be the case in this instance. You know, it's not something that's new. You know, it's gone on for a long time.
Did you ever, in your experience, have cause to question the judging?
Well, we feel that we did, most probably in the last Olympics, that we felt that there was a political push against us. We were coming in after 10 years away from the amateur sport that it was then that became eligible. We became eligible again to go into it, and we wanted to go in and go through that experience again, because we thought it was, you know, it was a test for us. It was something that we wanted to see where we stood up against where the amateur skating was in the day. And we certainly felt outsiders, that we were coming into something that necessarily that we weren't wanted back, if you know what I mean. And yes, we felt put out a little bit.
Some skaters have accused the judges of not understanding the rules of the sport and of voting in blocks because they're at a loss to figure out how to accurately assess a skater's performance. What do they mean?
I think they know the rules. Every judge knows the rules, but it's the interpretation of it. And then when you talk about the rules, a lot of dance comes down to subjectivity of what a judge feels. And so you're never going to be able to mark it like somebody that jumps highest, skates fastest, you know, completes these particular jumps. This is very subjective of your personal preference. You know, if you ask somebody who their favorite painter was, you get a real cross-section of likes and dislikes. And that's kind of what certainly the free dance section is about. It's about those personal likes and dislikes. And but then they have to find a majority. You know, the judges have to come together to decide who is the favorite one. And I think this is happening too much. I think, you know, they're getting a strong judge can influence several judges. Somebody that has credibility, that's done a lot of international events, that may have been a past skater, you know, in the judges' room, his opinion may count for an awful lot against judges that aren't necessarily as experienced. And so they could follow that person's likes and dislikes. But I think sometimes what I think the skaters think is that they dedicate their life to the pursuit of what they're trying to do and the intricacies and the subtleties of what they do. And, you know, they study dance. They're very arts aware, I think. They go to visit a lot of theater, dance, and they soak this up and then they try and present it. And possibly in comparison to that, the judges don't do that. You know, it is an amateur sport, and these judges have other 9-to-5 jobs, I'm not saying this is the same for all judges. I think some judges are very professional and immerse themselves into it and are very credible. But I think there are some people that, you know, are not as aware of what's going on and what the skaters are trying to demonstrate or to show off.
You know, when you watch skaters, and I skate, but I'm not that good, so I've never achieved this feeling, but it looks as if you're really flying. Is that the sensation you have, competing?
When you're skating, it depends where you are with a particular routine. I mean, when you start a routine, everything seems to be frantic, and it's a whirl in front of you, and it's not coordinated. But when it comes together, when you harmonize and everything gets in tune, it's almost like it's in slow motion, that you're ahead of what you're doing, and you're actually able to put your emotion to the forefront, and that the steps, the movement, are far more automatic. But what you're trying to do is let the emotion come out of the movement. So it really passes through different stages of where you are. But by the time you get to competition, yes, it should be a feeling that you are flying, that you are on top of it, and that you can almost do anything with the steps and the movement. It almost, what you try to do sometimes is to make it look spontaneous, that it's happening for the first time.
Now, when you were just starting out, you had a full-time job. You were a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
What did your fellow cops think of your skating career?
They thought it was a little strange to begin with, I think. But when we started getting a little bit of success and seeing our names in the papers and then hearing about us, that they became very involved in wanting to know what was happening, where we're going, and then they became very supportive of what we were doing. And it really turned around from the beginning to when I eventually finished with the police force, because I just couldn't keep the two going. One had to give, and I decided that I'd rather skate.
Now, did they think in the beginning you couldn't handle the rough stuff? You couldn't handle a rough arrest or mean streets or anything?
No. I mean, there wasn't any preferential treatment or anything like that. I mean, I would get sent to jobs just like anybody else, not like, oh, he's a skater, we can't send him. It's, if the job comes up and your name's next on the to-do thing, then I get sent.
How did you first start skating?
When I was 10 years old, I lived in a little village town, and there was no ice rink there. And my mother, who had been a recreational skater, bought me a pair of ice skates just to get out of this small village to go into the town. And we were fortunate. Nottingham, where I come from, was one of the towns that had an ice rink. I think when I first started, there were maybe 11 rinks in the whole of the country. And so we were fortunate there was one like 10 miles away. If they hadn't, I don't know what I've been doing.
Did you just take to it right away?
After the first 200 falls in the first day, yeah. like anybody else, I did my fair share of falling over. But I was always athletic, and I enjoyed the challenge of trying to stand upright.
Now, why didn't you go the direction of the double axel or the triple jump or whatever they were doing when you were young?
My parents had been recreational ballroom dancers, and they'd encouraged me to sort of follow the dance side of it. And so I always did dance. I mean, I never really did figures or free skating at all. I always had a partner.
I'm sorry, I can't get this image of policeman by day, skater by night out of my mind. I have to ask you another question about it.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever go to mediate a domestic dispute or go to make an arrest and someone said, hey, aren't you that
yeah,
skater I saw in the paper?
The problem was I looked quite a baby face, too, and sometimes it was a little bit difficult getting people to take me seriously. But, you know, when I got the handcuffs out, they started to then realize that maybe, he is a policeman, that he might be a skater as well, but he's a policeman right now.
You and Jane Torvill are best known for your performance in the 1984 Olympics in Sarajevo, where you danced to Ravel's Bolero and earned 9 perfect marks for the gold. That was the first time anyone had gotten 9 perfect marks awarded in the sport at the Olympics. When you performed it, were you acting out a storyline to Bolero?
We were, actually, yeah.
Is that what made it so effective, do you think?
I think there was a lot built up around us as a couple, and it was sort of a tragic romance. It was almost a Romeo-Juliet sort of situation where by the two people weren't in our heads and going to be allowed to be together. So really it was a decision, and we just visualized things, but it was sort of climbing up the mountain and that the two would leap over the edge and be together in heaven. But what it was the journey up there and the oneness of these two people and the determination to be together. And that's our visualization. I mean, we're not trying to literally play that out, but that was where the emotion was coming from.
Do you first dance the dance out on land and then transfer it to the ice?
It varies. A lot of the time, though, that we work with the movement of the ice because that's the medium that we're trying to discover new movement, and that it tends to take place mostly on the ice because we want it to be more organic, that it comes out of the ice into your body, the way that the edges bite and move over the ice, that you can only get that by being on the ice. There may be some particular moves that you think, oh, this is a little bit dangerous, that you take off the ice to begin with.
Figure skating is in such a boom right now. Do you have any regrets that you're not out there competing?
No, I think we've done our bit, and we feel fulfilled by what we've done, and I don't think there is anything more that we want to do. I think we've got to a certain pitch that we're comfortable. And it's time, you pass things on to the next generation and they move it forward. And, it's all a evolutionary, and the next group comes around and you pass out of it. And no, there's no regrets. We know where we're at and we're comfortable with that.
Every time I turn on the TV to watch sports, it seems as if there's another skating world championship event on the air somewhere, and it all seems to be sponsored by different organizations. It doesn't seem to make any sense to me. Is the skating industry not standardized? Is that a problem for the sport?
No, and it isn't, and it's something that I think needs to be done. There isn't really a standard or a union in any kind of, the ISU govern the amateur skaters, but the professional events, there are many out there, and I think, each network is trying to look for a different format and a different event, and yet still trying to keep it in the guise of a sport, and within that, you get so many different formats, and I think what needs to be done now is to the skaters themselves to take charge of it, because the minute you finish amateur skating, there isn't really an organization that you then go into. It's really a free-for-all, and it's just whether you're invited to do certain competitions and events, and that's dependent on how successful you've been in the amateur competition. So I think there's a lot to be done, but at the moment, with all the professional skaters that are out there, everybody's doing quite well, thank you. And that they're, why should we band together to be a stronger union? Because they're doing okay. But I think the bubble will burst. And I think at that point that the skaters will form together to standardize and to be a sort of more of a collective and get a standard event going so that the public are aware of what's happening and that they're in tune. When you sit down and watch the football match or the hockey, you know what you're watching, whereas within the skating there are so many different rules depending on the event. So I think something will happen with that eventually.
Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today on Fresh Air.
Thank you very much.
Christopher Dean won a 1984 gold medal for ice dancing with his partner Jane Torville. They're about to tour the U.S. with Stars on Ice. Dean spoke with Fresh Air's Barbara Bogave. Coming up, one of the founders of snowboarding. This is Fresh Air.